On the morning Pearl Harbor was attacked, 14-year-old Bud Nakasone was eating cornflakes.
I was right there having my breakfast looking out towards the mountains on the west side there. And by golly, I see these planes coming down. I said, what a beautiful formation of planes coming in.
Nakasone watched as Japanese air fighters dropped bombs on parked American airplanes.
1, 2, 3, 4. Hello, NBC. Hello, NBC.
And all the planes were being bombed and burst into flames, and the tarmac burst into flames, the buildings going up, the mess halls going up. War was here. War was here. No way, two ways about it.
December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
2,400 Americans died that day. On December 8th, the U.S. declared war on Japan. So when the fighting continued over the next several years, he remained in Hawaii, doing what teenage boys do and taking Japanese lessons after school. He was a Nisei, the child of Japanese immigrants, and Nakasone's mother and father valued Japanese culture.
The parents wanted us to be able to communicate with them, and with the thought that sometime in the future, we may have to go back to Japan.
4 years after the Pearl Harbor attacks, those language skills would come in handy. After being drafted near the end of World War II, Nakasone was assigned to the Military Intelligence Service Language School at Fort Snelling in Minnesota.
It was now a matter of finessing our Japanese to become more in line with the Japanese being spoken in Japan.
The first military language school opened in California 1 month before Pearl Harbor. But historian Kimi Tanaka says after the attack, things changed.
There's a lot of animosity and suspicion towards people of Japanese ancestries.
Tanaka works at Fort Snelling, where Nakasone trained. She says Minnesota Governor Harold Stassen urged the Army to move the language school here.
His quote was that the people of Minnesota would be welcoming to the soldiers with Japanese faces.
But U.S. policy towards Japanese Americans was anything but welcoming. President Roosevelt ordered 120,000 Japanese Americans into prison camps. Cartoonists depicted Japanese and Japanese Americans using racist stereotypes. 5 days before the end of World War II, the government drafted Bud Nakasone into its army. He arrived in Minnesota on Christmas Day, 1945.
The temperature was 5 below 0, and that was very, very cold to us from Hawaii.
The young soldier adjusted quickly. His days began with revelry at 5:30 a.m., At 7, he marched to language class, which would last most of the day. Sometimes, in the evenings, he squeezed in leisure time.
Thursday nights, we have dances here, and young student nurses from University of Minnesota or YWCA and so on would come out and be our partners.
After 9 months of speaking and reading Japanese at the language school, the Army sent Nakasone to Japan. For the next year or so, he worked as an interpreter in Osaka.
They had me become more or less like the sergeant in charge of sending out our interpreters out to help the other army personnel.
Nakasone says the people of Japan, ravaged from war, welcomed interpreter soldiers like him.
And they liked us because we looked like them. We spoke their language. They could speak to us. The Nisei became the bridge to the sun.
After the war, Nakasone returned and attended the University of Minnesota on the GI Bill. He taught high school history in White Bear Lake. Later, he led history classes at what is now Century College. Nakasone is now 91. His son Paul joined the Army too. He's now a 4-star general. And earlier this year, Paul got a new job.
Lieutenant General Paul M. Nakasone, President Trump's nominee to be the next director of the National Security Agency.
These days, Bud Nakasone still gives talks about World War II. Some of his war memorabilia is currently on display at Fort Snelling.
It's a World War II field jacket and 2 medals that I earned.
But those items won't be there forever.
I don't want to give up those medals, you know.
For KFAI, I'm Joey Peters.